You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church, or for additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
So I want to welcome you this morning. Thank you so much for joining us and being with us this morning. And if you can do me a favor, would you open the Bibles to your Bibles to Exodus chapter 40? We are in our last message in Exodus, and I'm excited about actually where we are going as well. And so, but what I wanted to do this morning is to take us and actually recap on what we've looked at, what we've looked at in Exodus, and then also just walk us through what this chapter here is highlighting, what he's highlighting. So we have been looking at the book of Exodus, and the theme that we've been really tracking through is actually free at last, that God is a God who really delights in seeing his people free, set free. And so we've been looking at a God who sets his people free from sin, from slavery. And for us, we have been looking and seeing that God delights in setting us free from sin in our lives. And then at the same time, when you actually look at and how God sets these people free, and we see that there has to be a sacrifice that is made. A lamb has to be killed on the day of the Passover, and the blood has to be put on their doors. And then so basically, like, we see that God sets his people free through the sacrifice of a lamb, and so which is actually redemption through sacrifice. And we see that God sets us free in Jesus. He sets us free in Jesus through his Son, who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And then we see God giving them the law, which is actually he sets them free in order to actually, and when he gives them the law, he wants them, he gives them these 10 commandments as actually like, this is how you live free. You've been set free, and this is how you live free. And we walk through all that, and then after he gives them the commands, and that's when he begins to walk with them through, this is actually how my presence is going to be in the midst of, in your midst. And so Moses goes up the mountain, and while he's up there, God is actually really giving them the plans of, my presence is going to go with you. You've been set free from slavery, but at the end of the day, God wants them to enjoy his presence. And while he's up there, they get impatient, they sin greatly, and then that's when God reveals himself, and he reveals himself, and he's really showing them that the greatest enemy to their salvation was not only just outside of them, which was Pharaoh, it was actually also inside of them, which is idolatry, right? And so he wants them to be set free. And that's actually where the story keeps on going. At the beginning, he had said to Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me. And in fact, the word for slavery that we see at the beginning and the word for serving God is actually the same. So the book of Exodus is going to be walking us through, you are actually moving from slavery to slavery, only that you're moving from a tyrannical lord over you, which is Pharaoh, and you're going to a God who is slow to anger, gracious, compassionate, and you're serving under him, and he's a God who wants, where at the beginning Pharaoh is making them work nonstop, but this is a God who is actually designed even rest into their days. He wants what's best for them, right? And then so it moves from slavery to slavery, where at the end of the day, when you're looking at it, God's service is actually true freedom. That's actually what this book is driving us to. So the mission of Israel is to be a kingdom of priests. And we saw that in Exodus chapter 19, shaped by his law, living in his presence, displaying his goodness to the rest of the world. Amen. And that's actually what we get to see here, what God is doing in the book of Exodus here. We're seeing that they are to be God's people. That true freedom, if you can walk away with any idea today, it would be this. That true freedom comes when God's people are under God's power and they are living in God's place. And so the tabernacle is God's place. Right? And Israel is God's people, and they're living under God's power. And Eden was an ideal for that. When God created, it was his place, and he had put them in there, and Adam and Eve were his people, and they were living under God's power. Sin comes in and ravages, and literally just destroys all that. And this is actually, if you are looking at the story of God, God from the beginning to the end, you will see he is actually wanting to rescue a people so that we can be his people. So the church even today, we're his people, living in God's place, which is actually the church, big C, and then under his power. Everything is moving from Eden all the way to the end. When you get to see the book of Revelation, what is celebrated, it is going to be God's people under God's power, living in God's place. That is what equals what? Rest. That is what equals true freedom. True freedom is as God's people living under his power in God's place. So the church right now is that microcosm that is moving towards the renewal of all things. And so we see this. This is actually what Exodus chapter 40 is going to really kind of show us what this looks like. And so when you look at from verse 1 to verse 15, we see that to be truly free, we need to live in God's place. God's presence is something dangerous for idolatrous people, and where God has to now construct the tabernacle. And this tabernacle is the way a holy God can live with an unholy people and live in the midst of them, right? And you see from the beginning, we see God moving from the top of the mountain, right? Speaking, and there is thunder and lightning up there, and then moving. Now he is going to be in the midst of his people. And in order for them to access his presence, there has to be actually satisfaction. That is actually where they have to meet all these requirements. So we see that in verse 1 to 15, where the command is there is for Moses to set up the tabernacle. So he sets it up. He sets it up on the first day of the first month. And that first day of the first month was actually the same day that the Passover actually had happened. They had come out on the first day of the first month, and he's wanting them to be reminded that, like, I set you free so you can live in my presence, right? And so he says, take this and set it up, and then he is actually to set apart even the priests as well. And we see that he's to set apart the priests from verse 12 to verse 15. And in fact, from verse 15, 1 to 15, the key word there is you shall do this. You shouldn't cut any corners, Moses. You should do this. And the whole thing is to make sure that you sanctify. And the word there is to sanctify, make holy, make this place holy. And not only that, make the priesthood holy. And and anoint, and this is actually what it symbolizes, purity and cleanness, and which is an attribute of God, which is a holy God is now in the midst of his people. And right, but when you look there, and there's just a remarkable similarity to the language that we see at creation when Eden was actually a sanctuary on its own, right? And here, when you begin to look at what is actually happening, for example, when you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, the heavens and the earth were finished. In Exodus chapter 32, and the tent was finished, and Moses finished the work, and we're going to see that. And on the seventh day, God finished what he was doing in Genesis 2, verse 2. He finished what he was building. And then it says this in Exodus chapter 40, 33, Moses finished the work. And then it says in Genesis 1:31, God saw everything that he had made, and he said it was very good. Moses looks at the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 39, verse 43, and it says that he looked, and then he actually now, he says, and he was satisfied, and it was good, and it was done just as the Lord had commanded, right, in verse 43. And then it says in Genesis chapter 2:3, and God blessed the seventh day, and we see Moses blessing them, and we see him sanctifying the place in Exodus chapter 40, verse 9 to 10. This is actually showing you that the tabernacle is almost like it's a small representation of Eden. Right. But yet when you see the story moving forward, God is he is with his people. But it's dangerous to access his presence. And so when you finally get to the New Testament, and this is actually like where there's a perished kingdom, and we see here in the book of Exodus a partial kingdom, but in Jesus we see now a fully present kingdom. A fully present kingdom, and where Christ is now God's place. He is God's place. In John 1:14, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And that word there is tabernacled amongst us. Where when Jesus is coming now, he is bridging that gap. And then it says that we observed his glory. And we're going to see even at the end of Exodus here, and the glory of God settles there in Jesus. That glory was full there, was full in him. The glory as to the one and only from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So Christ is then, he is the one who is now full of grace and full of truth. And so as we're looking, God setting his people free and wanting them to live free and delivering them, and he says he is actually delivering them to live free and to serve him as actually the pinnacle of their freedom. Christ is coming. When he came, he was coming then to actually fulfill that, right? So that in Christ there is grace for every sin or all our idolatry, and there is truth in him even in turbulent times. And then so when we see everything in creation was leading to rest, Christ comes in and fulfills all that. That's why he says in Matthew chapter 11, 28, come to me. Come to me, the tabernacle. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Are you tired of your idolatry? Are you tired of the sins that are actually like your enemy? Maybe your enemy is like Pharaoh. It's on the outside and it's enslaving you and it's keeping you under its thumb. Come to me. Maybe your enemy is on the inside and you're discovering that there are things within you. Your heart betrays you. Sometimes you want to do this, but you find yourself doing the opposite. Come to me. Are you weary? Are you burdened? Come to me. I am God's tabernacle. That's what Christ is saying. And I will give you rest. and I will give you rest. Christ is the place of rest for his people today. He is the one that God has now sanctified, and he is the one that God has now said that if you come and you hide in him, in Christ, we find true freedom. So that the church now, the church which is the proclaimed kingdom, the church has nothing to do. We don't try to fight for freedom, because freedom has been won in Christ. And the church and the faithfulness of the church is to proclaim the kingdom that has already been won by Jesus. Amen. The kingdom that he has begun a good work. He is continuing a good work, and he is going to finish this good work, right? So the church individually now is now God's place. And so individually, we are now meant to be God's place, where every single day in our lives now, God now has reconciled us in Christ. And then so 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this: don't you yourselves know that you are God's temple, that the Spirit of God lives within you? So Christ, in Christ, the tabernacle that was that place now has now moved, and through the power of the Holy Spirit has now moved from this place, this little box, now into your heart. And Christ has won your external enemies, and now he is also winning the battles from the inside of you. Come to me if you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our only freedom rests in letting Christ do what only he can do. We looked at obedience last week, that he commands us to obey, and he also gives us the power to obey. Amen? Right? Don't you know, 1 Corinthians 6:19, this was being, and by the way, he was writing to the most jacked up church you could ever find, Corinth, where idolatry was running rampant. If you think the church is messed up today, go and read Corinth. But he says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, whom you have from God? And this is the phrase that actually I think probably is so relevant for us today. You are not your own. That phrase there, if we could camp there, you could dethrone every idol that is running rampant in our society today. Because this is actually the pinnacle of today, is that my body, I am my own. So I am the one who determines what I need to do. And in the gospel, it says, you are not your own. Look at this. For you were bought at a price. You were bought at a price, infinite, or this price of infinite worth. It was the Son of God. It was God emptying heaven of his Son coming to die for you. It was the salvation you couldn't even afford. You are not your own, right? And if we can at least understand that part, then we can now begin to really realize that God, this is like every command that God commands us from Scripture is for our joy. It is for our freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So therefore, this is actually, we shouldn't be trying to crawl back. His commands are not a burden for us. Amen? They're to actually so glorify God in your body. Right? And corporately, we're called, Ephesians 2:22, in him you're also being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. That's what, like, everything is meant to be about, his glory. Everything is meant to, we're meant to be being built together. And I love 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 5, as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by people, but chosen and honored by God, you yourselves as living stones. And I love that. Because leaving stones there means that we come in with rough edges. We come in, but yet God is also still building His church with people like us, sanctifying us from the inside out, making us to be more and more like Him, are being built together to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And right? And so we see, were to be this holy place. And we see this tabernacle is a holy place. And that holy place, we see it fulfilled in Jesus. And now we are to be holy places. Like, and so that the sanctuary now invades your home. The sanctuary now invades your workplace. The sanctuary now invaded even this church. We're meant to be living sanctuaries that are walking everywhere, bringing God's presence there. A kingdom of priests, right? But to be truly free, we not only need to be God's place, we need to also be God's people. And I love the way at least verse 16 to 33 kind of just weaves this thing where... If you look the verses, the chapter 39, it talks about them obeying over and over and over. But here in chapter 16, chapter 40, 16 to 33, it's not only just them that obeyed. It's actually emphasizing on Moses' obedience. It's zeroing in on just Moses' obedience. Moses is the one who's commanded to set this tabernacle up. And so he didn't do it alone, but the emphasis is on him obeying. And so Moses here, if you're zooming out on the story of God, Moses is the Adam-like figure who fully obeys God in doing this right here. But we all know that Moses, obviously, is going to fail later on. And he won't make it into the promised land. But yet, there is something about here, this text, it's emphasizing Moses. Moses, we've seen him as the mediator. We've seen him as the one who is leading the people of God from slavery. And he is the one who's given the commands. He's the one who is the project leader of the tabernacle. He's the one who inspects it. And he's the one who actually and it says this, he finished the work. He finished the work. And so here we're getting to see just how God is going to be working through his covenants. God always, it starts with Adam, and it goes with Noah, it goes with Abraham, right? And he goes with Abraham, and then out of that, he chooses Jacob, and then out of that, he works with Joseph, and then out of that, now he's working with what? With Moses. And we're going to see him going in and working with the prophet Samuel. He's going to work with David, and he's going to move the story forward. He's always these Christ-like figures that when they disobey, the whole nation goes crazy. And so Moses obeys for a little bit, but Moses is pointing us here to Jesus, the present kingdom, who Christ obeys. And this is actually where Israel, in Exodus chapter 4, 22, God says, and you will say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son. So when you begin to read the story of Matthew, when you go in there, begin to look at the echoes of Exodus that are actually happening there. When God looks at Jesus in Matthew chapter 3, and he says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased with. Pleased in. And then from there, he walks, because he has walked through actually what? Baptism. The Israelites had walked through what? The waters. And Jesus comes out of the waters, And God says, I'm pleased in him. And Jesus from there goes straight into the desert. And he faces every temptation. And every temptation he succeeds in is every temptation that the Israelites failed in. And he comes out of the desert there, proclaiming the kingdom of God. Because Jesus is God's son, and he is the better son than Israel. But Jesus is also the better Moses as well. Right? And so we see finally later on in Matthew chapter 17, 3-5, suddenly Moses, who stands for the law, and Elijah appeared to them at the Mount of Transfiguration, talking with him. And then Peter said, Lord, look, for it is good for us to be here. If you want, I will set up three shelters here, and one of you, and one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud covered them. Where is that? What is that an echo of? It's an echo of Exodus. God showing up with the cloud and saying, my kingdom is now fully present. And Moses is here to testify of that. The prophet Elijah is here to testify of that. And a voice came, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He fully has obeyed me. He has satisfied all the requirements of the law. Listen to him. Follow him, right? This is my son, right? And then so this is my son, and he is the one who has now the right to say, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. So Christ now is not only just the place of rest, he is the person of rest. He is the person of rest, and out of Christ, we are made to be God's people. Right. And where Israel failed, it all culminated in Christ, and Christ pleased God. And then to all of us who are now have placed our faith in Jesus, Christ now, he's the better mediator than Moses, and he is better than Moses in he has set this new covenant for all time. And now he now calls us to obey him. Listen to what Hebrews 3 verse 1 says. Therefore, I love this. This is so amazing. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters. I love how just the tones of the New Testament look at us, and they begin to say, and if there, you could just camp, and if you could just like spend some time meditating, just phrases like this, they drive me to tears because I know that I am not holy like that. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, what has happened to actually declare us holy before a holy God when we know all our inconsistencies and all our sins and everything that we have done to fall short of the glory of God? What has happened? We have been welcomed to, listen to this, who share in the heavenly calling. Consider Jesus, right? If you are looking and you're seeing and you're unworthy to be called that, consider Jesus. Camp on Jesus. Live in Jesus. He is your person who qualifies you to walk boldly into his presence. This is what's going on right here, right? Look at this. Holy brothers, consider Jesus. And who is he? The apostle. Sent by God. That's actually what it means. He was sent by God into, and the high priest of our confession. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was in all God's household. For Jesus is considered worthy of more glory than Moses. So we don't follow the law anymore, right? We every law has been fulfilled in Jesus. Just as the builder has more honor than the house, right? Now every house is built by someone, but the one who built everything is God. And Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's household as a testimony to what would be said in the future. But Christ was faithful as a son over his household. And we are that household. I love that.
if you can circle stuff like that, this is like, just like, I'm telling you, this right here is just amazing. We are that household if we hold to our confidence. And what's that confidence? And hope in which we boast. What's that confidence? Is the fact that we hold on to the apostle and the high priest of our confession. Right? And so we see Christ, this high priest, and this one sent by God. So when you're seeing him at the cross in John 19:30, and he's crying, "It is finished," it's an echo of Exodus. Right? God, it's an echo of Exodus. When it says Moses finished the work, Christ did a better job when he finishes the work. And it's actually amazing, because as soon as he says that, the veil in the temple is torn. And then now, unworthy sinners like you and me can access his presence. First Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. And so us as a church now, as this proclaimed kingdom, and this is actually what we should stubbornly, adamantly, violently, violently hold on to, without compromise, we stubbornly proclaim Christ and his power to transform lives. Because this is who he is. He has finished the work, right? The only identity that matters is this identity in Christ. You can put quotation mark. It dethrones every other identity. Christ is the person of our true freedom, right? Christ is the one that, he is like that one ring that rules them all, right? I wish I could say it in Gandalf's tone. So Christ is that one ring. If anyone is in Christ, he's the person, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and then the new has come. If Christ was the tabernacle of God and an echo of creation, that tabernacle was an echo of creation, Eden, Christ now, he is the one who now, he is now the one who inaugurates the new creation order in us. Our salvation is through Christ, right? And not only that, Christ is our rescuer. He is called Emmanuel, God with us, here to save us from our own sin. He is the one that saved us, and he is the one who is the new law giver, right? Galatians chapter 6:2 says, "Carry one another's burdens." Right, in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone who believes, in Romans chapter 10:4. And this is what he is doing. He is reconciling everything in within us to move us to become the people that one of these days we're going to enjoy. Heaven is actually centered around him. And his work, look at Revelation 21, 22. "I did not see a temple in heaven in it, because the Lord God, the Almighty and the Lamb are its temple." Right? And so that's actually where it's moving to. So to be truly God's people, we need to be living in God's place, living in God's place to be his people, and not only that, living under his power. That's what you see in this last section here. Look at verse 34. "The cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Right?
So God's glory comes in and covers that. And so when God's glory comes in, that's when God says, this is now my house. And Moses was the chief contractor. He's the one who was actually working on this. But all of a sudden, Moses, as God comes and fills this house, it's like when people build your house. And when they build your house, they hand you the keys. And all of a sudden, it's their house now. And God here says, it's my house now, Moses. I know you were able to build and help. And but from there, look at what happens, verse 35. Moses was unable to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud rested in it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And from this moment onwards, Moses cannot enter in there unless there's all the requirements of entering into his presence are met. And all of a sudden, yes, this tabernacle is done. But we see now there's Moses can't come in anymore. He's outside. And the Israelites, it says this, and the Israelites set out whenever the cloud was taken up, right? And then taken up from the tabernacle throughout the stages of their journey. And if the cloud was not taken up, they did not set out until it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and there was fire inside the cloud by night, visible to the entire house of Israel throughout the stages of their journey. And so what you see here is that Moses is unable to go in. And this is beginning, actually, if you ever get bored about reading when it comes to Leviticus, Leviticus is actually going to be trying to solve this problem. How then can the people of God, right, with God living in their midst, access God's presence? And so the book of Leviticus is going to introduce us to all these sacrifices and things that need to be done. And what is actually emphasized over and over in the book of Leviticus is, be holy as I am holy. This is now where Moses can't enter in because he also needs sacrifices in order to enter in. But where Moses couldn't enter in, Christ could enter in boldly. Right? He could enter in boldly. And that's why when Christ and he came, the kingdom came after he's baptized, he goes into the desert and he comes back. He comes and he's proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And what does he start doing from there? He starts doing these miracles that are actually showing you that he embodies God's power. And God's power has now come, and it begins to reverse, like it begins to actually now where for example, sin has come, where death seems like it has had a final say. I love how Jesus interrupts more funerals in the New Testament, and he raises those from the dead. He finds people that have been crippled for years, and he lifts them up. He finds people that societies have taken, and they've put them even, and for example, the demoniac in Mark chapter 5, and they've put him in the graveside. They've chained him there, and they've left him there, and they've left him there, and Christ goes there, and he frees him. And in fact, listen to this, and it says that he sits there in his right mind. That Christ can come and take a tormented mind and take and literally by one say, and he comes out of him, and then he's sitting there in his right mind, and then the rest of his life, and he's going into the Decapolis proclaiming, guys, Jesus set me free. Right, he finds lepers. He finds a woman with the issue of blood who has actually spent everything. He finds prostitutes. He finds the woman at the well, and he sets them free. God's power breaks into the earth, right? And that's what you see here. God's power has now finally come in their midst. And Moses can't enter, but Christ embodies that power. He is the present kingdom. And but at the same time, after Christ, he's the one that God looks at and he says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased in, right? And whom I'm well pleased in, listen to him. And he is the one. And as you look in here, it says the presence of God now began to lead them. And they would follow the presence of God, right? They would follow the presence of God. That is actually why it's very important to be disciples of Christ. Being disciples of Christ, look at Matthew chapter 11, 28. Come to Matthew chapter 28. Let's go down to 28 verse 18. Jesus came near, and this is after he is resurrected. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus has now conquered what? Death. He says, I have all authority. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And what Jesus was fulfilling here was that the kingdom of God has now finally come. And Jesus has been raised from the dead and he has gone before the Father. And he says, now all authority has been given to me. Go and make disciples. In Exodus chapter 40, it says that they never, whenever the cloud lifted and it moved, they moved. And when it stopped, they stopped. And it says God was with them throughout all their journeys. Throughout all their journeys. And if you could ask me what it looks like to be a disciple, is to let Jesus walk with you throughout all your journeys. Your journeys with grief, your journeys with sin, your journeys with lust, your journeys with disease, your journeys with success, your journeys with everything. That's actually what was happening. And any time they excluded God in their journey, they plummeted deep down into sin. But any time they invited him back, that's what Christ is now saying. Make disciples of all nations. Let them follow me through actually what? Death, baptizing them, right? And then so, but by baptizing them, you're saying that they're actually now saying, my sins were taken by him at the cross in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that it is God who stamps them free. Free to now be partakers of eternal life with him, right? And then teaching them. And what we're seeing here is that the gospel, if you can hear me, the gospel has the power to make and to mature us as disciples, right? And that's why we're adamantly, and that's why we violently hold on to the power of the gospel. It has the power to do that. Go, and then it says this, it has the power to make them, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but also teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. The characteristics of their lives is going to be following and following and following everything that he has commanded. And but you know what? But we're not alone. And remember, I am with you till the end of the age. That's why he says, it is better for me to go. I will pour my spirit in you so that I am with you till the end of the age. I am with you, taking you, beginning a good work, Philippians 1:6, continuing a good work in you, in the midst of every turbulent season, continuing a good work, I am with you. And I am here to say this, that as soon as the Israel forgot that he was with them, that's when they ran to every other idol. And I'm here to say that Satan will work so hard in your life to make you forget this very one thing.
that he is with you. Because if you know he is with you, you will know he is for you, and you will know that greater is he that lives within you than he that is in the world. And you will know that he is for you, not against you. That you would know that if he is with you, God gave his son on your behalf. How will he not give you all things? You will know that the same power that lives in within you, that conquered the grave, lives in within you. You will know that you are in safe hands, and you will not run away from him to look for every other idol to satisfy you. If you would know that he is with you, you know that he will be faithful throughout all your journeys. Amen. That's what we see here. And he calls us to be his people. True freedom is here when we continue to live under his place, in his place, which is the church. That's where he does his glorious work. And we continue to be reminded that we are his people, that our identity is his children, and that we continue also living under his power. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, we come before you. And God, we ask you that you would help us as your people to live to continue to realize that, Lord, as you say that the earth is yours and the fullness, therefore, they. And thank you, Lord, that you have made the church, but not only the church, you've made our hearts your dwelling place. So, Lord, would you help us, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to pursue holiness in our bodies, and also, Lord, and to let you empower us, Lord, to bring your presence into this world. Help us to live as your people that are obedient to you. And help us, Lord, to be people that fix our eyes on your power, and your power to save us, to sustain us, and to deliver us to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We hope God meets you where you are and doesn't leave you, but changes you through the work of his Son. For additional information, please visit citychurchpa.org.